Hugh and Review, celebrating 40 years of audio production, welcomes you to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast, recorded from our studio in the Bishopriggs Media Centre and by our volunteers working from home. Keep up to date with Q and Review news via our Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at Q and Review, that's @CUEANDREVIEW, or get in touch with us directly by emailing information@qandreview.com, that's information@CUEANDREVIEW.com, or by calling 0141 772 3976. Please like and share our podcast and give us constructive feedback. Just to let everybody know, the gentleman who normally reads the sports pages of the Glasgow Times is in hospital at the moment for a minor operation. We hope to have Bill back soon, but in the meantime, the rest of the team are trying to cover for him. We hope you enjoy the podcast. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 7th of November, from the sports section, Atletico 6, Celtic 0, instant reaction to the burning issues, report by Graham McGarry. Celtic were left seeing red once more as they were taken apart by a rampant Atletico Madrid in the heaving Estadio Metropolitano. In Glasgow, it was the colour of the shirts worn by Atletico to commemorate their infamously bruising 1974 triumph over Celtic that riled the Scottish champions, but, in the Spanish capital, it was the colour of card waved in the direction of Daisy Maeda that made a difficult task an impossible one. Already a goal down to a deflected strike from the brilliant Antoine Griezmann, they would go on to concede further goals from Alvaro Morato, another from Griezmann, a perler from Samuel Díaz-Lino, another corker from Morato, and a final blow from Saul. In the end, they were fortunate to get out of town with just a 6-goal defeat, with Atletico also hitting the woodwork twice. Here are the talking points from a chastening night for Brendan Rodgers and his men in Madrid. Same old mistakes gave Celtic no chance. The narrative around Celtic's Champions League matches over the past two seasons is well worn. They are learning their lessons at the top level. They are getting closer to getting a result, and much of that may be true. The problem is, we are coming up against players that are just that level above you. It is always going to be difficult to bridge the gap. Mistakes creep in, and they are inevitably punished. Rinse and repeat. And so it was here yet again. It was always going to be an uphill task coming to this stunning cathedral built for football, in Celtic manager Rodgers' own words. Atletico had won their last 14 matches here coming into this game. But still, Celtic actually started the match reasonably well, holding onto the ball and quieting down the cacophony that gated their arrival. But just a few minutes in, they shot themselves in the foot once more, with two sloppy errors presenting the hosts a gift they barely needed. Joe Hart came out to meet a corner under no pressure, but decided to attempt a one-handed punch that he miscued wide to Ricardo Riquelme, who flung the ball back into the box. Callum McGregor was there to meet it, but his poor header landed at the feet of Griezmann on the edge of the area, and suddenly Celtic were in desperation mode. Both McGregor and Cameron Carter-Vickers flung themselves in front of his shot, but the touch the centre-back got in the ball only helped it past Hart's despairing dive and into the corner. If they thought that was going to make it a long night, they didn't yet know the half of it. Maeda read, harsh or naive. It is hard to be too critical of the attacker, given that his all-action, high-pressing style that makes him such an asset. Indeed, prior to the match, those who cover Atletico had spoken of how surprised and impressed the Spanish side had been by Maeda's display in Glasgow. It is perhaps little wonder, then, that when he challenged for a loose ball with Mario Hermoso, arriving a fraction of a second after the defender and catching him on the shin, that the Atletico bench sprung up in unison in animated appeals toward referee Ivan Kruzelic to order him off. The Slovak official would provoke further remonstrations from the home dugout when he produced only a yellow card. But a few moments later, his finger went to his ear, and as he wandered over in the direction of the VAR screen, there was only ever likely to be one outcome. Rodgers tried to argue his player's case, furiously charging from his own technical area to try and prevent his Atletico counterparts from exerting undue influence on the whistler, but it was to no avail. And, in fairness, the call was probably right by today's standards, even if there was little intent from Maeda. But that careless leg, and that little bit of naivety, cost Celtic dear on the road once more. It was their third red card in their two away Champions League matches so far. They have to improve upon their discipline if they're going to give themselves even a fighting chance. Speaking of which, Celtic Luis Palma pays the price. Rodgers said prior to this match that at Champions League level, 95% is not enough. But he will now travel to face Lazio in Rome with a team that is far from full strength, with Luis Palma joining Maeda on the suspended list. While Maeda's raid came in an honest attempt to win the ball, Palma's booking was altogether more avoidable, picking up the caution for mouthing at the referee following a Liam Skills foul on Axel Witsel. You could see the frustration bubbling up in the Honduran as a few debatable calls went against him, but even still, it was daft to voice his displeasure for at least the third time towards the official. He had clearly had enough, and Palma paid the price. Rodgers' structure collapses with dismissal. Rodgers had said that his team's structure was going to be key if they were going to get a result, but individual errors undermined his organisation, and then he was forced to go to a 4-3-2 following Maeda's dismissal. In fairness to the Celtic players that remained, they worked their socks off and tried to compete as best they could, and in fairness to Hart after his earlier error, he made a few really decent stops as the game wore on. Given they played the vast majority of the evening a man light though, we have no way of knowing if Rodgers' game plan might have garnered a better result, or at least kept the score down, had the match played out with Celtic having their full complement. Sometimes you have to hold your hands up. It will be cold comfort to Celtic fans to consider the calibre of player who put them to the sword, but due credit has to be given to the opposition on occasion, and there is no doubt that the imperious Griezmann, Atletico have quality that sides of Celtic's financial standing can only dream about. His second goal of the night was a lesson in predatory instinct and lethal finishing. Though, again, it was a poor defensive header from Celtic, this time from Alistair Johnson, that ensured the ball landed perfectly for him to scissor kick home. Griezmann has been a joy to watch in these two games, though perhaps not for Celtic supporters. The Celtic players will, however, know that they have been in the presence of brilliance, and that is the level they must aspire to. He was taken off moments after his second, but any thought it was a mercy sub was disproved within minutes, as one of the Atletico replacements, Diaz Lino, curled an unstoppable shot into the top corner from the right-hand corner of the area. By the time Morato smashed in an outstanding fifth during an announcement asking the Celtic supporters to remain in their seats after the final whistle, most of them were already halfway back to town. At least those fans missed the sixth, Saul poking home at the second attempt after some weary defending from the Celts. And that report was by Graham McGarry. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 7th of November, from the sports section, Celtic captain McGregor bemoans embarrassing Atletico Madrid defeat. Report by Aidan McDonald. Callum McGregor branded Celtic's 6-0 defeat to Atletico Madrid as embarrassing after the thrashing in Spain. Doubles from Antoine Griezmann and Alvaro Morata, as well as strikes from Samuel Lino and Saul Niguez, saw Diego Simeone's side run out comfortable winners at the Civitas Metropolitan Stadium. A red card earlier in the first half for Daiza Maeda changed the course of the game for the Scottish champions, and McGregor insists Celtic must learn quickly from their mistakes. Speaking to TNT Sports, he said, "It was a very tough night for sure. It is embarrassing to lose 6 goals and we have to learn quick. That has to be a one-off. We have now come to 2 away games and had men sent off. This level is difficult enough when it's 11v11, and that is not to point fingers at anyone, because I think all three of the challenges have not had any malice in them. We have to learn from that, as this level is too difficult to play against teams with 10 men or 9 men. And you see the massive quality with their goals, as they scored with almost every shot they hit. I thought we started the game quite well, and even when we lost the goal, I thought we were a decent value and in the game. If we then get to half-time at 1-0, then the game probably feels a bit different for us. But then we make the match so difficult for ourselves, to be fair to them, that was a clinic on how to play against 10 men. They really stretched the pitch, and you see how they got in time and time again. And that report was by Aidan McDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 7th of November, Sport. Ex-Ranger striker Ewer praised for choosing different path. Article by Ewan Payton. With every international window that comes around, there seems to be another emerging young Scottish talent who breaks into the under-21 setup. In recent times, we've had Ben Doak, for example. Emilio Lawrence of Manchester City is another. It is now Robbie Ewer's turn to shine under Scott Gimmel's watch. The head coach of the under-21s hasn't made any promises, but he's keen to see the towering striker up close. The 19-year-old left Rangers during the summer. He came through the club's academy and was offered terms to stay. It could have been easy to sit in the reserves, playing B-team football, but that wasn't something he wanted for himself. He recognised that he was at such a pivotal stage in the development of his career. Ewer, spelt U-R-E, broadened his horizons and looked abroad. He perhaps looked at Josh Doig, Aaron Hickey, and Lewis Ferguson as Scottish success stories for those who have chosen to look further afield. Initially, he spent a fortnight on trial with AZ Alkmaar. A deal looked to be on the table, but the finances couldn't be worked out. Ewer returned to Scotland to spend some time training and keeping fit at both Kilmarnock and Queen's Park. He persevered with his dream of testing himself on the continent, though. A free transfer to Belgian side Anderlecht eventually materialised for Ewer. He has been playing for their second side, RSCA Futures, so far this season. He's been in fine form for the under-21 team, scoring 4 goals in 5 games. He's also notched an assist in the 386 minutes on the field in Belgium's first division. Gemmell is excited to work with Ewer and has praised him for chasing regular first-team football rather than waiting in the wings for something coming to him. It's great to give him an opportunity, the 52-year-old said. Again, it's another example of us using the chance to have a closer look at him, like we have done with many of the players. I'm very respectful of the level he's playing at. If you do some digging, that level he's playing at is very well respected comparatively with some really good leagues around Europe. He's a player that we know really well because of his time at the younger age levels. It's going to be good to work with him. He's another example of how our pathway has changed for young players, for sure. It's not always the case that you have all of these attacking options, but right now, it's great to be able to select all of these attacking players that are scoring and assisting goals at a really good level. There's no question the pathway has changed for these young players. They've all got agents. They can see that their peers at the same age or who are slightly older making these moves and getting the opportunity. The clubs have got confidence in our players as well. The clubs around Europe can see the proof of our young players going abroad, doing well and making a mark for themselves. That obviously gives them the confidence to give our players chances. Doak has been included in the under-21s camp for the upcoming Euro qualifiers against Belgium and Hungary on the road. He has been involved at first team level in Liverpool this season, with Jurgen Klopp affording him opportunities in the Europa League. Max Johnson and Doig are other players in the under-21s who are on the cusp of the men's A-team squad and have previously been called up by Steve Clarke. Gemmell insists Doak's situation remains the same, and that Clarke prefers to promote them from within rather than giving him a straight call-up anyway. He said, "Mats is a brilliant example for all of the young players. They know how close they are, and they know that Steve Clarke has been brave and clever enough to give these young guys opportunities." It's not just Max. It's happened with Josh, Nathan Patterson, and Aaron Hickey. There are loads of young players in this Scotland squad, and it's fantastic that they can see how close they are. They need to keep performing well, not only for us, but for their clubs as well. The gap between the under-21s and the men's A's is closer than ever. It wasn't like that historically, but it definitely is now. Steve has shown in the past that he prefers to name the young players in the under-21 squad. It's then up to him and his staff when they choose to give the opportunity to the young players. Steve is comfortable with that, and we are too. I'm sure he knows we can take them whenever he wants. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 7th of November, from the sports section, exclusive, Glasgow Celtic fans attacked in Madrid ahead of Atletico match, article by Caroline Wilson. A Scots father and his two sons have been left shaken after being attacked by a gang of Atletico fans in a Madrid bar ahead of tonight's high-risk Champions League match against Celtic. Mark O'Donnell, 61, told how he was watching football in a pub in the barrio of La Latina district on Monday night with his two sons when a gang of around 20 rival supporters came into the bar. He said one of the fans asked, "Are you Celtic?" And the family, who support the Glasgow club, were then subjected to an unprovoked attack. All three suffered cuts, and Michael was taken to the hospital Clínico San Carlos, where he received 8 stitches to a wound on his hand. Mr. O'Donnell speaks Spanish and called the local police, who sent an ambulance to the bar for his son, who is in his early 20s and is a product design engineer. He said they were very shaken after the incident. "We were in a bar watching the Tottenham game when about 20 Atletico fans came in," said Mr. O'Donnell, who lives in Glasgow's West End. "One of them said, 'Are you Celtic?' And then they attacked us. I have cuts to my leg and hands. Christy has cuts to his head and Michael has cuts to his hand and received 8 stitches. Michael met another man in hospital older than me who was also attacked. He had been hit in the face with a bottle and had to have numerous stitches to his face." The family was enjoying a 4-day break in the Spanish capital that had been planned for months to tie in with the match. More than 3,300 Celtic fans are thought to have travelled to Madrid for the game. The two clubs have a long rivalry following a match in 1974, which became known as the Shame Game. They met in the European Cup semi-finals, with Atletico progressing 2-0 in aggregate. The first leg in Glasgow finished 0-0 and has gone down in history for all the wrong reasons. The referee dished out 11 yellow cards and 3 red cards as the Spanish side kicked lumps out of their opponents. Atletico had already picked up 4 yellow cards inside the opening 20 minutes, and they were down to 9 men just 10 minutes into the second half. Celtic icon Billy McNeil described Atletico as the scum of Europe following the match. Ruben Diaz, one of the players dismissed, remarked some years later that he deserved to be jailed for his attacks on Jimmy Johnson. Atletico would go on to win the second leg 2-0 and progress to the final, where they'd lose out to Bayern Munich. Today's game at the Metropolitano Stadium has been classified as high risk, according to reports with more than 1,300 officers from the National Police Corps, Municipal Police, Civil Protection, deployed to monitor the areas surrounding the stadium to prevent incidents. Celtic currently sit bottom of Group E with 3 games to play, having picked up their only point in a 2-2 draw with the Spaniards in Glasgow. Police said 5 men were arrested and charged in connection with acts of disorder at the game. Unbeaten Atletico are second on 5 points from their opening fixtures. And the article was an exclusive by Caroline Wilson. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 7th of November, from the sports section, Philip Clement Fear Factor has driven Bright Rangers' start. Article written by Graeme McGarry. It is often said that it requires gravitas to lead a top club. It is an intangible thing, and you won't be taught how to get it when you're going through your coaching badges. You just know it when you see it. And when John Lundstrom looks at his new manager, Philip Clement, that is what is staring right back at him. The results he has had since he arrived at Ibrox are starting to gain the respect of the Rangers supporters, but for Lundstrom, it was his ability to instantly command the respect of the players that has been the key to his flying start. The inference when the midfielder talks about the squad needing a dominant figure to stamp his authority on them could be interpreted as a criticism of the rather laxer approach of Clément's predecessor, Michael Beale, who perhaps blurred the line too much between being a manager of his men and being their mate. The line that Clément is currently straddling is that fine one between inspiring just the right amount of fear in his players while getting them to buy into his ideas, and Lundstrom believes this is a recipe for success that can carry this Rangers team a long way. It's hard to pinpoint one or two things, Lundstrom said. It's lots of different things and it's hard to put your finger on. He's just been really good and given the lads lots of confidence. We're playing a bit wider with wingers, which helps the pressing side of things. I can't speak highly enough of him. He's come in and he's really stamped his authority on the squad. It's what we've needed. He hasn't pulled me aside individually. He hasn't needed to. It's more that he demands respect around the place. He's an imposing figure, and I think you have to be that as a manager. There's a little bit of fear in there from him, which again you need. For me, it's not about being pulled aside. I just really respect him and he's coming and giving everyone a lift. If you have needed that arm around you, then he's given that to players. Again, it's a good sign. You've got to have both sides, haven't you? You've got to have the arm around the shoulder and you've got to be demanding and demand respect when it's needed. He's done both. It's about this story. He keeps going about this story we're building and it's about putting all these little building blocks in place. You can see it coming together, probably faster than what he's expected, but we have all bought into what he's trying to implement and it's working. The on-field approach he references with greater width and higher pressing up the pitch is certainly winning the approval of the Rangers supporters, who had become frustrated with a more patient, or pedestrian depending on your interpretation, style earlier in the season. The style of play we're playing now gets the fans involved, he said. It's more forward thinking, it's high tempo, it's aggressive. We're obviously going to need the fans and they'll be behind us 100%. It's all about giving them something to be behind and we've done that lately, so let's just continue. The next test for Clément's revitalised unit comes at Ibrox on Thursday night, with Sparta Prague making the trip to Glasgow on Europa League duty. The first game between the sides in Prague a fortnight ago represented arguably the poorest performance of Clément's reign so far, particularly in the first half where they were fortunate not to concede at least once. They improved later in the match though and could even have won it in the end before settling for a goalless draw, but Lundstrom is sure that Rangers will be able to impose themselves more consistently on their opponent on home soil, even if they've been asked to go to the well a lot of late. It's huge, he said. It's another big game, and they just keep coming thick and fast. I saw Barry Robson talking about it on Viaplay, about his games, and he was having a little bit of a moan about it. Welcome to our world. No, the games come thick and fast, and we're used to it. I saw the lads joking with Barry Robson on the telly, saying that's what success brings, and playing well brings. We're in the Europa League, the Viaplay Cup, the League and the Scottish Cup still to come. They all just come thick and fast and you wouldn't want it any other way. That's what success brings. I thought over there, it wasn't pretty at all. In the second half, we were excellent. And I thought after the game, it was a great point to get away from home. For Sparta Prague, they'll see that their ground as their Ibrox. It's not an easy place to go to. And it's not going to be easy for them to come to Ibrox on Thursday. We're really looking forward to it and hopefully it's another magnificent European game. European nights at Ibrox are massive. It's what all the players at the club have come to experience. And that article was written by Graeme McGarry. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, Sport. Aberdeen denied 50-50 ticket split with Rangers in Cup Final. Article by Ewan Payton. The Viaplay Cup final between Rangers and Aberdeen will not have a 50-50 split of fans inside Hampden Park. The Pittodrie club has hit out at the SPFL after this morning it emerged they were denied the chance of an even amount of tickets for the showpiece encounter as Rangers. The teams will face off at the National Stadium on Sunday, December the 17th, as Philip Clement and Barry Robson both aim to win their first trophy as manager of their respective clubs. Rangers will have the support of 25,000 fans, with the Dons only being afforded 19,500. Earlier this week, Dons chief pitched a case for additional tickets with the decision makers over the matter. However, the SPFL have decided that they will receive the same amount of tickets as they did for the 2018-19 final against Celtic. An SPFL spokesperson said, "Firstly, we would like to congratulate both Rangers and Aberdeen for reaching the final of the Viaplay Cup after two fantastic semi-finals. Deciding ticketing allocations for cup finals is always a challenging task, as more fans invariably want to attend than the stadium can accommodate. We take a range of factors into consideration, including the number of tickets each club sells in the semi-finals, as well as their historic ticket sales in any previous League Cup finals and semi-finals. In addition, the design of the stadium and its ability to split sections is a major factor which influences our decisions, together with input from safety and security authorities to ensure fan safety and appropriate segregation." An Aberdeen statement reads, "The club robustly put its case to the SPFL to treat both teams fairly, with an even share of tickets, given that Hampden is a neutral venue. Much to our extreme disappointment and frustration, this proposal was rejected by the SPFL." And that article was written by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, from the sports section. Clement details plan to create a Rangers winning machine. Article by Stuart Wilson. Rangers boss Philippe Clement has stressed the importance of turning his side into a winning machine. The Belgian has won four of his first five games in charge of the Ibrox side, including reaching the League Cup final, and he detailed why it is key for his side to perform well over a period of time rather than just the short term. He said, "For me, a good team is a team that does it for months. And of course, there will be one moment where it will be less a dip, but the next game there is a reaction. Of course, I am happy with the way things are going, but I am not sitting on the sofa and thinking now we can let everything loose and the machine will go. I want to create a machine, and I think it is possible with this group to create a machine that goes every time, but we are not there yet. We are in the building period, not just observing. I don't know everyone really well at the moment in every circumstances. I want to see how players react with the first disappointment or play a really good game and the next game they don't start. So I need an observation period for a few weeks, a few months to get the details of everybody and get the best out of everybody. Do I need to slap them more or be nice more? It is different for every player." And that article was by Stuart Wilson. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, from the sports section. Ex-Celtic ace Jota on alert after Nuno Al-Ittihad sacking. Article by Ewan Payton. Jota could finally be set for a second chance at Al-Ittihad following the sacking of Nuno Espirito Santo. The former Celtic ace moved from Glasgow to Saudi Arabia in June this year. He joined the Pro League champions for a fee of around £25 million and gladly accepted the chance to earn life-changing money. However, the Portuguese winger switch to the Middle East has not played out the way he would have envisaged after helping the Hoops to the treble last term. He was left out of the club's domestic squad, with roles permitting only 8 foreign players per club. Al-Ittihad had too many within their ranks, so Jota was left on the sidelines. He cannot feature in any Pro League matches until January at the earliest, when squad lists can be reviewed. It was reported at the time of his slide out of the side that he would seek a loan move away from the club or even a mutual termination of his contract. However, with ex-Tottenham boss Espirito Santo now away from Al-Ittihad, Jota's future could still lie there if he can make an impression on the new manager. Nuno, 49, took over at Al Ittihad in July 2022 and guided them to last season's title. This season, though, they have won only 6 of 12 league games this season and suffered a 2-0 defeat by Air Force Club of Iraq in the Asian Champions League on Monday. Assistant coach Hassan Khalifa will take interim charge of the team. In a statement on X, Al Ittihad said, "The club has announced the end of its contract with Portuguese coach Nuno Santo. This decision comes after a comprehensive tactical evaluation of the past phase, during which he was in charge of coaching the first football team. It has been suggested that Nuno's strained relationship with star man Karim Benzema formed part of the club's decision to part company with him." And that article was written by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, from the sports section, ex-Celtic manager Neil Lennon to appear at Pundit Night. Article by Tom Grant. Former Celtic boss Neil Lennon is heading to Yoker this week as part of a Scottish football pundit night in aid of two local children. The Northern Irishman is stepping in as a late substitute for Simon Donnelly at the upcoming A Pie, A Pint and a Pundit event at the Albion Social Club on Thursday, November the 9th. Lennon will join Tam Cowan, Hugh Keevans and Peter Martin at the Scottish Football Panel evening, which aims to raise funds for Callum Ray and Ava Bolton. Both aged 4, Callum and Ava are currently undergoing treatment for neuroblastoma stage 4 together. Neuroblastoma is a cancer that develops in nerve cells and mostly affects babies and children under the age of 5. It affects around 83 children per year in Great Britain. Alex Ray was also set to be involved, but due to his current role at Rangers, he has had to pull out. Former GAA David McKinnon will appear instead. There is still a few tickets left for the much-loved night, where some of the game's best storytellers take to the stage and answer the fans' questions. Doors open at 7pm, with the panel set to begin at 7:30pm. The halftime pie, included in the ticket price, will be out sometime between 8:30 to 9pm, alongside a halftime raffle. One free drink is also included with a ticket. The panel will then return until about 10:30pm. Tickets can be paid for in advance or at the door on the night. Anyone looking for one can contact lisamonahan73@gmail.com. That's lisamonahan73@gmail.com. And that article was by Tom Grant. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, Sport. Former Celtic midfielder reveals surprise at Atletico Madrid tactics. Article by Aidan McDonald. Celtic hero Paul Lambert has opened up on the Atletico Madrid tactical tweak that he has never seen before. The Hoops lost 6-0 to Diego Simeone's side in Spain, with Dyson Maeda receiving a red card early on. And Lambert praised the Argentine coach for his tactics in the fixture. Speaking to Talk Sport, he said, "I was at the game last night and I have to tell you it was one of the best stadiums I've ever been in. The sending off, VAR does my head in anyway. People are getting sent off for anything, which is a joke, and it changes the dynamic of the game. But Madrid are the only team I've ever seen to play a back five, three in the middle and two lads up front at home against 10 men. Simeone has drilled that way, fair play for them doing it, but it was a tough night." Meanwhile, Callum McGregor branded Celtic's 6-0 defeat to Atletico Madrid as embarrassing after their thrashing in Spain. Doubles from Antoine Griezmann and Alvaro Morata, as well as strikes from Samuel Lino and Saúl Ñíguez, so Diego Simeone's side run out comfortable winners at the Civitas Metropolitan Stadium. Speaking to TNT Sports, he said, "It was a very tough night for sure. It is embarrassing to lose 6 goals and we have to learn quick. That has to be a one-off. We now have come to 2 away games and had men sent off. This level is difficult enough when it's 11v11 and that is not to point fingers at anyone, because I think all three of the challenges have not had any malice in them. We have to learn from that, as at that, this level it is too difficult to play against teams with 10 men or 9 men, and you see the massive quality with their goals they scored in almost every shot they hit. I thought we started the game quite well, and even when we lost the goal, I thought we were decent value and in the game. If we then get to half-time at 1-0, then the game probably feels a bit different for us, but then we make the match so difficult for ourselves. To be fair to them, that was a clinic in how to play against 10 men. They really stretched the pitch, and you see how they got in tight in time and time again. And that article was written by Aidan MacDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, from the sports section, Rangers hero McCoist slams rude Celtic foe Simeone. Article by Ewan Payton. Diego Simeone has no class, insists Rangers legend Ali McCoist. The Rangers hero has blasted the Atletico Madrid manager following his actions during his side's 6-0 win over Celtic last night. The Argentine went straight up the tunnel without shaking Brendan Rodgers' hand after the full-time whistle in the Champions League tie. Following the first game between the teams in Glasgow, Simeone was criticised for his half-hearted attempts at a handshake with Rodgers before making his way back to the changing rooms. And McCoist admits he's not having the 53-year-old one bit. Speaking on TalkSport's breakfast show, he said, "I tell you who I'm not having, by the way. I am not having that manager, Simeone." Co-host Alan Brazil responded, "His antics on the touchline. He does it all the time. Stuff them. They won't win anything anyway." McCoist came back in, "I am not having it. I just think he is rude. He has no class and no manners. I really do. The other week not shaking hands with Brendan was embarrassing. I don't know what happened last night, but I just saw him run straight up the tunnel again like he isn't going to shake hands with anybody again." Rodgers appeared to have a go at Simeone during the game after the incident which saw Daisy Maeda sent off for a challenge on Mario Hermoso. Post-match, he said, "It was always going to be a challenge for us, 11 versus 11 against their quality. But to get the man sent off so early after we made a good start, looked confident and ready to fight for the game. Really, really disappointed with the sending off. I think when you see the images that the referee sees, it wasn't representative of the actual challenge. Both players sort of clashed feet and kicked each other, so for us to lose a man for that was going to be really, really difficult." And that article was written by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, Sport. Rangers vs Sparta Prague, TV, live stream and team news. Article by Ewan Payton. Philippe Clement has enjoyed his start to life as Rangers manager. 3 wins in the Premiership, a cup semi-final triumph and an away point in Europe, it's been a solid beginning for the Belgian in Glasgow. The 49-year-old's first match in charge in the Europa League came against Sparta Prague a fortnight ago. Now, Clement will prepare his time to take on the Czech side on home soil as Rangers aim to strengthen this position in Group C. They currently sit on 4 points alongside Sparta, with Real Betis out front on 6. Here are all of the details you need to know ahead of this one. When is Rangers vs Sparta Prague? Rangers will take on Sparta Prague tomorrow, on Thursday, November the 9th. The game will kick off at 8 p.m. It will take place at Ibrox. Is Rangers vs Sparta Prague on TV and can I live stream it? Yes, thankfully the game will be showcased live on television. TNT Sports holds all of the rights to show the Europa League on the box. The game will be broadcast on TNT Sports 3. The build-up will begin at 7:45 p.m, straight after the conclusion of Aberdeen's game against POAK. Subscribers will also be able to live stream the event on Discovery Plus. Team news. Clement will provide a full fitness update on his squad during his pre-match press conference. It remains to be seen if the injury situation will have cleared up at all, with the likes of John Suter and Kemar Roof missing from the weekend win over Hearts. Ridvan Yilmaz will miss out for certain, as a Turkish left-back is not included in the club's European squad. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, from the sports section, Rodgers not entitled to Celtic Champions League pass. Article by Ewan Payton. Brendan Rodgers should not be entitled to a free pass for Celtic's poor results in Europe. That's the view of Simon Jordan. The former Crystal Palace owner admits he's an admirer of the Irishman, but he cannot be excused for the Scottish champion's dreadful form in this season's Champions League. The hoops were thumped for six without reply by Atletico Madrid last night in the Spanish capital. Dyson Mieda was sent off earlier in the game in what was a highly contentious decision against Celtic. While Jordan acknowledged it was a poor call by the referee, he would not accept it as an excuse for the team's response on the park. On TalkSport this morning, a Celtic fan called in to discuss last night's game with Jim White, Jordan and Danny Murphy. He insisted that there was more than meets the eye to Celtic's solitary point in Group E. He highlighted factors such as injuries in a hangover period following Ange Postecoglou's exit. But Jordan wasn't having it. Asked if it's not possible to judge managers of Scottish teams in Europe anymore, he responded, "No, that's not a good enough argument." And Brendan doesn't get away with pricing it into his thinking to try to manage expectations at the beginning of the season. With due respect, the turnover of Feyenoord is no different to the turnover of Celtic. So, with financial arguments put into play, the two clubs have an equivalency. If Celtic are going to get booted out of the Champions League because of the argument that Brendan is advancing, then they'd land in the Europa League. Right now, they're going to land in neither because they've been so poor. With that in mind, you look at Feyenoord and you see they've taken 4 points. Where are Celtic in this argument? We make the same argument about the Eredivisie as a league that's not particularly that compelling. If you've got the same financial revenues in terms of £80 million, where is the argument? We could say that the Scottish League isn't as strong as the Eredivisie, but that's subjective. This Celtic outcome is the same as last year. Responding directly to the caller who said he was willing to give Rodgers a free pass this season, Jordan added, "I think he's being very generous there. I do. I think that's a very generous attitude and outlook because I don't think Brendan is entitled to a pass. You don't get taken into Celtic with a pass in mind. You're in a group that ultimately you look at and see it's going to be difficult to get past Lazio and Atletico Madrid, but we're in the conversation with Feyenoord. If you don't come out of that conversation with Feyenoord, then I don't think you should be given a pass. I really like Brendan, but I don't think he's entitled to it." And that piece was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Wednesday the 8th of November, Sport. Scotland squad for Georgia and Norway games announced. Article by Ewan Payton. Steve Clarke has named his latest Scotland squad for the upcoming matches against Georgia and Norway. The Scots have already secured the qualification for next summer's European Championships in Germany. But there's still plenty to play for in these final two Euro 2024 qualifiers, as Spain currently sits at the top of Group A. Clarke will be without some key men in Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney and Angus Gunn. So, there is a slightly different look to the squad this time around. But it will give the opportunity for some of the fringe players to earn caps and has also allowed for the inclusion of talented under-21 internationalist Josh Doig. The first up is Georgia on Thursday, November the 16th, before Norway and Erling Haaland come to town on Sunday, November the 19th. Scotland squad in full. Goalkeepers: Xander Clarke, Liam Kelly, Robin McCrory. Defenders: Liam Cooper, Josh Doig, Jack Hendry, Scott McKenna, Nathan Patterson, Ryan Porteous, Anthony Ralston, Greg Taylor. Midfielders: Stuart Armstrong, Lewis Ferguson, Billy Gilmore, Ryan Jack, John McGinn, Callum McGregor, Kenny McLean, Scott McTominay. And attackers: Che Adams, Jacob Brown, Ryan Christie, Lyndon Dykes. And that article was written by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 10th of November, from the sports section, I would get rid of it. Rodgers gives Celtic VAR assessment by Aidan McDonald. Brendan Rodgers has given his assessment of VAR, saying he would get rid of it if asked right now. Celtic were subject to controversy midweek involving the technology when forward Dyson Maeda was sent off due to a yellow card for a challenge being changed to a red. And while Rodgers acknowledges the money invested in VAR, he's not a fan of it at the moment. He said, "If you ask me right now, I would get rid of it, VAR. Absolutely. But if there is money invested from the game which is supposed to make it better, then you have to give that every chance. If you are asking me now, I would just hope that we can play our football. We know as humans, evolved people will make these mistakes, and I would rather accept that than what we see at the moment." The 50-year-old also revealed that Maeda will be out of action for at least 6 weeks due to the knee ligament damage sustained during the challenge which led to his red card. He is now likely to miss the remaining two Champions League fixtures against Lazio and Feyenoord, while also facing a race against time to be fit for the derby against Rangers on December the 30th. Dyson will probably face up to 6 weeks out with the injury from the challenge, so he has strained his knee ligament, which comes when you knock a player in the foot, Rodgers continued. If we went in stronger in the challenge, then he probably would not have the injury, so it was a clash of feet that just opened his knee ligament. It is a shame for him and for us because he has been brilliant. And that article was by Aidan McDonald. Just to let everybody know, the gentleman who normally reads the sports pages of the Glasgow Times is in hospital at the moment for a minor operation. We hope to have Bill back soon, but in the meantime, the rest of the team are trying to cover for him. We hope you enjoy the podcast. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. Celtic vs Aberdeen, Kyogo red card incident appeals dismissed. Article by Ewan Payton. Willie Collum was correct not to send off Aberdeen defender Slobodan Rubicic during Celtic's 6-0 victory on Sunday, insists an ex-Premier League referee. The powerful centre-back won the ball in his aerial duel with Kyogo, however, completely flattened him in the process. Both players required urgent medical attention after the clash of heads, with Kyogo appearing to be out cold when he hit the deck. Collum brandished a yellow card to the Montenegrin after the situation had been dealt with. And former referee Gallagher reckons that was the right way to handle the incident. "Well, I don't think it's a red card," he said on Sky Sports RefWatch. "I don't think it's a red card at all. It's unfortunate because of the clash of heads, which forces Kyogo off. It does make it worse, but I certainly don't think it's a red card. Not at all." The Celtic star took to Instagram to reveal that he has no recollection at all of what happened. He said, "I don't know how long I was there, but I don't remember anything about my friends worrying about me afterwards, about walking off the pitch on my own. I don't remember anything. At the hospital, I was told that everything was fine and I felt that the football gods had protected me. I will never forget my gratitude and will do my best for the future." Brendan Rodgers also revealed that the 28-year-old will not be travelling with his country on international duty. Post-match, he commented, "It was not great for him. Obviously, it was a nasty blow for him, so he will not travel to Japan as he will need to recover. The medical team will make sure he is okay. I have not seen it back, but it looked a real sore one." And that article was written by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 10th of November, from the sports section, Clement impressed by speedy improvement from Rangers players. Article by Ronnie Esplin. Philip Clement has hailed the speed with which his Rangers team have improved during his short tenure as boss. Last month, the Belgian took over from Michael Beale, who departed after the Light Blues, already knocked out of the Champions League qualifiers and beaten at home by Celtic, heard the sound of boos yet again after they had lost 3-1 to Aberdeen at Ibrox. Under Clement, Rangers are 6 games unbeaten,
collecting 5 wins and a draw. And the 2-1 Europa League win over Sparta Prague on Thursday means a home victory over Aris Limassol later this month will secure progression to the knockout round playoff, with a trip to Group C leaders Real Betis still to go and top spot still achievable. The former Genk, Club Bruges and Monaco manager is happy with the progress at Ibrox so far, ahead of the Cinch Premiership game against Livingston and West Lothian on Sunday. It is not yet that the team knows what to do in each situation. We are still working on that, but that is normal. It is 3.5 weeks, really short, said Clement, who confirmed young forward Ross McCausland is in talks about a new contract. But it is important that they start to learn what they do as a team against every formation, and they are getting better and better at that. Everything becomes faster, smoother, because it becomes more natural. We are not working with robots or machines, we are working with people. You don't know what is going to happen, there are so many things you can't control. At the moment, the players are really focused, really concentrated in every meeting, that they are making big steps forward, faster. And I have to say this is the fastest way that a team I have worked with has reacted, because of the concentration, maybe also because they come from a very low and deep point and they realised it. I know if everybody starts to do things together that we will create a good team, who creates a lot of chances, who doesn't give away a lot of chances, and then it is about fine tuning. Northern Irish forward McCausland, 20, has begun to make his mark at Ibrox this season, and Clement hopes he extends a deal which runs out next summer. Rangers signed McCausland from Linfield in 2019 for a reported fee of £60,000. Clement said, "We are in talks. It is clear that I am giving him good chances. He knows that I believe in him for the future, so it is about him and his family to make the right choice, and I think the right choice is staying here." And that article was by Ronnie Esplin. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. Edouard opens up on Celtic transfer as he details PSG disappointment. Article by football writer Aidan MacDonald. Odson Edouard has opened up on his disappointment at being unable to make it at Paris Saint-Germain. The forward came through the youth system at the French Giants, but was unable to establish himself in the first team. After a loan spell at Toulouse in League One, he arrived at Parkhead on a year's deal in 2017 before joining permanently the following campaign. And, while Edouard does not regret moving to Glasgow, he is disappointed that it did not work out at PSG. Speaking to Palace's official website, he said, "I joined Toulouse FC on loan. I felt the need to quickly acquire professional playing time, especially in League One. At that time, it was very complicated to establish myself in the Paris Saint-Germain attack front. Zlatan Ibrahimovic then Edison Cavani piled up the goals. When I returned to the club, the coach told me he was not counting on me because he had recruited Hartem Ben Arfa and Jesse in attack, more experienced players. So I decided to try my luck elsewhere, which is how I signed for Celtic FC. It's more of a disappointment than a regret, because I would have loved to step onto the pitch at the Parc des Princes with that red and blue jersey. Everyone makes their own way depending on the context of the moment." And that article was by Aidan MacDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 10th of November, from the sports section, Green Brigade blasts Celtic's statement tennis as club claims slammed. Article by sports writer David Irvin. The Green Brigade have slammed the Celtic board over the ongoing statement tennis over the suspension of tickets. Members of the group have been banned from attending matches at Celtic Park or away matches featuring Celtic. The club claims the suspension comes off the back of unacceptable behaviour from supporters. However, the fan group cited the recent Palestine displays as contributing to the banning order. Now, after a lengthy email to season ticket holders on the dispute with the Green Brigade, the fan group have responded. A statement insists the group will not continue in this online game of statement tennis, which was initiated by the PLC board. And it further disputes the suggestion of a dialogue between the two parties, with a request for a meeting with Chief Executive Michael Nicholson reportedly not met. The Green Brigade then announced a day of action will be organised for the match between Celtic and Motherwell on November the 25th, should the situation not be resolved. A Green Brigade statement read, "Following the latest reworked statement from the PLC board, we would like to address a few brief points. We see little value in continuing this online game of statement tennis, which was initiated by the PLC board, and which it continues to draw out by repeating the same disingenuous claims that we have already addressed. We note that the PLC board claims to be in open dialogue and engagement. We remind them that we have been waiting for a meeting with Chief Executive Officer Michael Nicholson since the summer. The planned summer meeting was originally postponed until September to allow focus and transfer activity. We await satisfactory progress on both fronts and remain open to constructive dialogue moving forward. Should our own situation not be satisfactorily resolved by Celtic v Motherwell, 25th of November 2023, we will organise a day of action at this match. We will liaise with all interested Celtic fans, fan groups and CSCs in the lead up to this date." The Celtic email to season ticket holder read, "We are writing to you with an update regarding the rail seating section at Celtic Park. You may already be aware of recent communications from the club to each of the Green Brigade season ticket holders who have registered with the ticket office as being part of the Green Brigade Supporters Club, and to all season ticket holders located within the rail seating section. For clarity, the club's email to the rail seating section is included at the bottom of this email. In short, as a result of the accumulation of unacceptable behaviours, the lack of compliance with the ground regulations, the Rail Seating Safety Code of Conduct and request by the club, it is not considered possible at the moment to manage safety within Celtic Park with Green Brigade members in the stadium. It was therefore necessary to suspend the season tickets of all season ticket holders who have registered with the ticket office as being part of the Green Brigade Supporters Club. This is currently 267 people in total, all of whom have been contacted directly by the club to explain the consequences of such registration, including the potential for action against all group members in line with the season ticket terms and conditions. The club's emails outlined actions that the club had taken in respect of the Green Brigade amid the club's ongoing review of unacceptable conduct concerning the group. These progressive steps, including removal of non-matchday access at Celtic Park, removal of matchday access at Celtic Park, and suspension of access to away tickets, have culminated in the suspension of season tickets detailed above. Ahead of Sunday's match versus Aberdeen at Celtic Park, the club wishes to provide our season ticket holders with a clear and accurate update on the rationale behind the steps being taken by the club and the current status of the process. As the club has already stated, and the group and its members are well aware, the steps taken and suspensions made have categorically not been imposed as a result of the display of Palestinian flags. The club has explained to the group, in writing, the specific reasons behind each of the progressive actions taken in relation to the group. These are based on very real safety concerns resulting from the behaviour of the group. Many of the behaviours have been going on for a considerable period of time, have resulted in previous actions in relation to the group, and are very well known to the group. The club has evidence of these behaviours. These behaviours have been set out most recently in writing to the group 14 September, 4th of October, 20th of October, 23rd October and 31st October, and follow on from similar issues being formally discussed and action being taken at the club against the group last season. No response has been received by the club from the group to these emails. The club is therefore disappointed with the attempts by the group not only downplay the safety related behaviours, some of which the group has now publicly admitted, but also to conflate the reasoning behind the actions taken by the club with the use of by supporters of Palestinian flags. That is particularly so when there is evidence of the group using banners and flags relating to or connected with terrorist organisations involved in the conflict in the Middle East. The club wishes to highlight the following. 267 people who have registered themselves with the ticket office as part of the Green Brigade Supporters Club and were made aware of the potential consequences of this registration are currently suspended for safety reasons. The club is working through a number of requests from amongst that 267 who no longer wish to be registered with the group and will continue to liaise directly with these individuals. The club is also working through other communications received across the club relating to the matter and, following screening, will respond where deemed appropriate. Subject to specific action taken against any individuals found to be directly involved in serious instances of unacceptable conduct, the club will offer and process refunds for any match or matches missed due to suspension. The third instalment of the UEFA Champions League package was taken by the club in line with the relevant terms and conditions. However, refunds will also be available for this match for any supporter who remains suspended for that match. In respect of Tuesday's night match versus Atletico Madrid, no tickets were ever issued or charged to any season ticket holder registered with the group. The club is willing to cancel the season ticket and process pro rata refunds for any season ticket holder currently suspended should that individual so wish. Similarly, the club is willing to discuss the possible relocation of any such individual out of the rail seating section upon request, and whilst efforts are ongoing to resolve the current situation, and on a match-by-match basis for any seat subject to the suspension, the club plan to offer tickets free of charge to recipients who may otherwise be unable to attend Celtic Park. The club considers that this approach is proportionate and reasonable while working through this important safety matter, and is happy to discuss any aspect of the ongoing issues with supporters or support groups. Finally, as we have repeatedly communicated to representatives of the Green Brigade, the club remains open to communication and engagement on the wider matter with a view to returning to a situation where rules and regulations around operating safely are respected and complied with. Should you wish to contact the club on this or any other matter related to the rail seating section, we would ask that you direct your correspondence in the first instance to railseating@celticfc.co.uk. Thank you for your continued support, Celtic Football Club. And that article was written by David Irvin. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. Hart Shanklin called up to Scotland squad after Adams' withdrawal. Article by Aidan MacDonald. Lauren Shankland has been called up to the Scotland squad for the upcoming fixtures against Georgia and Norway after Shea Adams' withdrawal due to an injury. The Hearts captain was included in the last camp for the games against Spain and France, but had not been selected this time around. Shankland scored twice against Motherwell at the weekend as Stephen Naismith's side bounced back from their recent League Cup semi-final disappointment with a 2-1 win at Fir Park. And he had previously explained why he was not concerned about his Euro 2024 prospects, despite not being included in Steve Clarke's original squad. He said, "I don't have regular conversations with Clarke. I don't think anyone does with international managers. He does his job out there with all the clubs. I concentrate on what I'm doing here. He spoke to me before the last camp when I was left out. He called me to let me know I wouldn't be involved in this one because I'd been involved in the one previously. So that was fair enough, but I don't expect to hear from him, to be honest. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. But as I say, recently my form's been better. It's picked up, scoring goals again, so that's all I can do. I say it all the time, but national teams take care of themselves when they come around." And that article was written by football writer Aidan MacDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, from the sports section. Kilmarnock plans to return to a grass pitch revealed. Article by Ewan Payton. Kilmarnock's intentions to reinstall a grass pitch at Rugby Park have been revealed. The Ayrshire club last played their home matches on grass in 2014 before implementing an artificial surface. The pitch was updated to a higher spec of AstroTurf in 2019. Billy Bowie, the club's majority shareholder, hopes that Kelly can revert to a grass pitch by the start of the 2025-26 season, BBC states. That will come as construction in the club's new training centre, Bowie Park, is scheduled to begin next spring. It is hoped works will be completed on the site between the town and Crooked Home by the end of 2024. The facility will be the club's first dedicated training centre, with the first team
academy and women's team all currently training at Rugby Park. Bibby Park will become a permanent home for Kilmarnock women and the club's academy teams. It will have two full-size pitches, a training complex and a 250-seater stand. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. McCausland handed terrible dive Rangers penalty verdict. Article by Ewan Payton. Ross McCausland's fall inside the Livingston box, which resulted in a Rangers penalty, has been branded a terrible dive by a former Premier League player. The 20-year-old started his first league match for the Ibrox club yesterday, as Philip Clement showed faith in youth at the Tony Macaroni Arena in what ended a comfortable 2-0 win for his side. The young winger was bright and didn't look out of place at Premiership level. With the scoreline 0-0 during the first half, the attacker was played in towards the byline inside Livy's box. Shamal George came rushing out and McCausland went to ground. Referee Steve McLean immediately pointed to the spot. However, TV replays showed that McCausland did go down easily and there appeared to be no contact from George. VAR checked the incident but did not overturn the on-field official's decision. James Tavernier missed the target from the resultant spot kick though. Reviewing the situation on RefWatch, Sky Sports expert Dermot Gallagher was unsure why the video assistants didn't inform McLean to change his original call. He said, "Not a foul. Looks like a foul, but there you see it here, not a foul. This is a view that the referee hasn't gone, but there, not a foul. Buckles his own legs." Sue Smith said, "No, it's not a foul. He's going down before contact, isn't he?" And ex-Leeds and Manchester City player Danny Mills added, "If there is any contact, terrible dive." Gerrs had two goals disallowed, and former Premier League referee Gallagher said both were the right call. On the first, Conor Goldson's tap-in that was ruled out after Cyril Dessers was adjudged to have interfered with play while in an offside position, he said, "Well, this is similar to the Harry Maguire one last week at Fulham. He's in an offside position and clearly there he goes for the ball, so he impacts on the keeper and it's disallowed." And on McCausland's own impressive striker, which was chopped off after Abdallah Sima was pulled up for pushing Cristian Matano, Gallagher added, "Sima pushes him, the first defender, on the 6-yard line. Referee spots that, disallowed." And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, from the sports section, Neil Lennon in Celtic fan defence after Remembrance Day disruption. Article by Aidan Smith. Neil Lennon has offered a defence of Celtic fans after a section of the Hoops support disrupted a minute's silence for Remembrance Day on Sunday. With Armistice Day falling yesterday, clubs all around the UK paid their respects with a period of silence and poppies were also printed onto the players' shirts. As Celtic and Aberdeen lined up around the centre circle at Celtic Park to fall silent, a section of the stadium failed to observe the reflection. Referee Willie Collum was forced to end the silence early, and broadcaster Sky Sports issued an apology for the disruption. Former Celtic boss Lennon appeared on PLZ Soccer this evening, and he gave his reaction after watching the game from inside the stadium. He said, "I was at the game and I wasn't aware of too much of it, so I don't know if this has been blown out of proportion. But you know, Celtic fans make their point when it comes to anything involving the British Army of the Royal Family. And for me, that is their right to do that. It doesn't look good at times, but we expect it now." Our reporter Martha Lindsay was at the match, and he gave his own account of events prior to kick-off at Celtic Park. He explained, "The pre-match period of silence was disrupted by chanting in the safe standing section at Parkhead. Many fans booed around the ground, presumably at chanting, but maybe because there was a period of silence. It didn't last very long, as Willie Collum ended it pretty sharply." And that article was by Aidan Smith. From the Glasgow Times, Friday the 10th of November, Sport. Postecoglou Premier League Manager of the Month, for third time. Article by Aidan McDonald. Tottenham Hotspur boss Ange Postecoglou
has been named Premier League Manager of the Month for October. It is the third month in a row he has won the award after making a strong start to life in England. The Australian joined the North London club from Celtic in June after winning 5 out of 6 trophies in Scotland. He has lost just once in the league since moving down south and followed up his strong first 2 months with another positive run of results in October. A late goal gave Spurs a 1-0 win away to Luton before comfortable victories against Fulham and Crystal Palace. The ex-Socceroos coach was also recently shortlisted for the best FIFA men's coach 2023. Meanwhile, PAOK have denied that Aberdeen striker Papa Gwaye was subjected to racist abuse by home supporters, calling the claim a product of imagination. Barry Robson's side confirmed in a statement last night that they had lodged a complaint with UEFA after the 24-year-old was allegedly abused by PAOK fans following Jimmy McGrath's equaliser in the 2-2 draw. The Senegal international was warming up when he heard comments from the stand and some of his teammates could be seen pointing to the home supporters in the aftermath of McGrath's free kick. Despite this, the Greek side have denied the incident took place, saying, "There has never been racist behaviour in Chuba, which should not be tolerated anyway. This specific incident is clearly a product of imagination, as it did not come to the attention of any official of the organisation. Instead, the defiant behaviour of the Aberdeen substitutes and their equaliser was evident, and to their credit, the fans did not react at all." And that article was by Aidan MacDonald. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. Rangers CFO James Taylor details sustainability plan, by Stuart Wilson. Rangers Chief Financial Officer James Taylor insists that Ibrox side are on the path to financial stability after the release of the club's latest financial results. The Light Blues have announced an operating profit for the second successive year, with a £252,000 profit recorded in the past financial year. And Taylor feels things are moving in the right direction, while also highlighting the challenges of the Scottish market. He said, "This is something that a number of clubs have been looking at and looking to find the answer to over the last few years. Increasingly, there are UEFA aspects of the environment in terms of UEFA licensing and club monitoring, and, for us as a club moving forward, it is important that we work within these parameters. I mentioned some of the challenges we have earlier on in terms of the challenges we have in terms of European competition to domestic competition and the revenue differences that come with that. It is about making sure the level of investment in the first team squad and the club is commercial with the level of revenue we generate. That is why it is so important for us to continue to deliver that revenue and to continue to deliver new partners into the ecosystem, as the more we do that, then the more we can drive those revenue numbers higher and higher and invest in the team on the park. Financial sustainability, to me, is a path we are on and one we will continue to focus on, and I have every confidence we will succeed." And that article was by Stuart Wilson. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. Rangers poised to make Director of Football appointment in 2 weeks. Article by Stuart Wilson. Rangers are set to appoint a new Director of Football within the next 2 weeks. It is understood that the Ibrox side feel ready to make an announcement once the Scottish Premiership resumes after the international break. The position has been vacant since the departure of Ross Wilson to Nottingham Forest in April. Club CEO James Bisgrieve told supporters during a fans forum last week that Rangers were in the final stages of appointing a new Director of Football. Meanwhile, Rangers have announced their annual accounts with an operating profit of £252,000 recorded in the past financial year. The club released the annual report and accompanying financial statement for the year ended June 30, 2023. And the figures report another profit for the Ibrox club for the second successive year. Last year, they posted an operating profit of £5.9 million. Speaking in his annual report, Ibrox chairman John Bennett said, "The club has, for the second year in succession, returned an operating profit. Turnover for the year to the 30th of June 2023 was £83.8 million,
generating an operating profit of £252,000. While successive years of operating profitability can be seen as encouraging, especially in light of what has gone before, there is still much work to be done. The club vision must be simple and clear, sustainable success. This applies both on and off the pitch, and it must be a mantra by which all at the club live. Football is a business which is particularly prone to being reactive. While this may be inherent to the industry, sustainable success can only come when we are systematic in our processes and in our actions. It is my firm conviction that this is a precursor to returning the club to the status of serial winners. I have talked previously of the four components of financial sustainability: season ticket sales, commercial revenue, European football, and player trading. While the first of these components will never be taken for granted, it is the fourth that requires attention. Player trading will always be inherently volatile, yet Rangers must replace sporadic wins with systematic success. It is a given that it all begins with player recruitment. This is an area of priority for your board, and we anticipate that the coming months will see a strengthening in the leadership and processes of our football department, specifically with this in mind. And that article was by Stuart Wilson. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 13th of November, Sport. Sir Alex Ferguson attends funeral for Sir Bobby Charlton. Article by Marissa McWhirter. Sir Alex Ferguson was pictured in attendance ahead of the funeral service for one of Manchester United's most beloved icons. Arriving alongside football executive David Gill, the Govan-born manager was among leading football figures in attendance at Manchester Cathedral to mourn Sir Bobby Charlton. Thousands of fans turned out at Old Trafford on Monday to bid a final farewell to the 1966 World Cup winner. The funeral cortege was welcomed with gentle applause as it drove past the stadium's east end and the United Trinity statue, which features Charlton himself, George Best and Dennis Law. Representatives of the club's under-18 and under-21 teams formed a guard of honour flanking the statue. Behind it were numerous black and white photographs depicting Charlton's long and illustrious career as a player and then a director at the club. The cortege made its way across the stadium apron, lined by crowds three or four deep in places, before making a right turn out of the complex to continue its 3-mile journey to Manchester Cathedral in the city centre. Other invited guests included current first-teamers Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Johnny Evans and Tom Heaton, and a host of former players, including some of Charlton's old teammates, England manager Gareth Southgate, UEFA president Alexander Seferin, Prince William, the Prince of Wales, and Football Association president and Manchester City chief executive, Ferran Soriano. Charlton died aged 86 in October. The England great scored 249 goals for Manchester United and helped him win three league titles, an FA Cup and the European Cup in 1968. At international level, he was part of the England team which won the World Cup in 1966. And that article was written by Marissa McWhirter. That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Kieran Review and to tell your friends about our service.